Here at the Asian Garden Shopping Mall, melodies from the Vietnamese Top 40 pour from a loudspeaker into the parking lot. This is Little Saigon, a half-mile strip of mini malls with Vietnamese signs and Asian architectural flourishes, the commercial hub for more than 100,000 immigrants who make up the largest community of its kind outside of Vietnam. Little Saigon is a section of the city of Westminster in Orange County, California. Once a conservative working-class white neighborhood, its transformation began when the communist North Vietnamese won the war. In April of 1975, just before the communists took Saigon, the U.S. government airlifted 65,000 American supporters out of the country, mostly families of the defeated South Vietnamese military and political elite. Most were taken to Camp Pendleton Marine Base in San Diego County. Just a half an hour up the freeway in Orange County, the city of Westminster offered cheap real estate, and that's where many refugees started to rebuild. Meanwhile, back in South Vietnam, the communists changed the name Saigon to Ho Chi Minh City and began confiscating private businesses. With no property or livelihood, the civilian upper class began escaping in droves. Most bought their way out on boats.
It was a fishing boat.
At night?
Yeah, at night. We just, you know, hide in a sack. And at midnight, we just ran to the boat, jumped on. Some got stuck back, and then we escaped.
Robert Tran was 9 years old when he and his family escaped from Saigon to settle in California's Little Saigon. Now, at age 24, Robert manages the area's most successful supermarket, a venture his family started with a loan from the U.S. Small Business Administration. But it seems the people of Little Saigon can't escape the war. While the first wave of refugees arrived with no money, they did have education, professional skills, and a sense of self-esteem. Plus, they were able to take advantage of the California economic boom of the 1980s. Now, in the 1990s, a new wave of refugees has been arriving with few of those advantages. They're entering a severely depressed economy, and they've been scarred by years of mental, social, and physical suffering. These recent refugees are former political prisoners, members of the South Vietnamese military who fought and lost after the Americans evacuated. In 1975, the communist government ordered more than 100,000 former South Vietnamese military personnel to spend 1 month in what were called re-education camps. For South Vietnamese Captain Dieu Do, 1 month of re-education turned into 9 years of hard labor.
While I was in the re-education camp, I thought that if I made it out of there, alive, it would be extremely unlikely. I thought I would surely die. There was no way to survive. Because for one thing, when I went to the re-education camp, I had to endure all the oppression of the communists. We had to do hard labor. In those times, we ate very poorly. We practically had no food. We ate mostly potato, and on occasion, the roots of shrubs, and then it would be back to potato. We had only a tiny bit of rice to eat. That's why we thought we would die in prison. But I didn't die, and instead made it out. It really is a blessing.
Mr. Doe says while he was in prison, he never saw his wife or six children. It was only after his release that he learned they'd been relocated to a farming collective and forced to plant corn and rice.
When I was able to go home, it was not the end of our trouble, because my children were discriminated against in school. Always, in the middle of the night, the local cadres would come to my house to check if we were hiding anyone or anything. We could not work or conduct any business to support ourselves. Instead, we had to find menial labor to make it day by day. We qualified to go to America, and when we received that news that the Americans would allow us to come to America, we were ecstatic, because I thought I would still have a future, and my children would have a future.
In 1989, the United States and the Vietnamese governments reached an agreement which allows these political detainees to come to the States as refugees. It took Mr. Doe a couple of years to scrape together $100, a bribe to appease a communist bureaucrat so his application would be reviewed. 8 months ago, Mr. Doe and his family arrived in Orange County. But life in the U.S. has turned out to be a struggle from one welfare check to the next. Mr. Do is 60 years old. He speaks no English. He's an educated man who's been doing menial labor for 15 years, and he has no skills for the American job market. He says he loves America and that his mind is better now because he feels free. Freedom is not enough for everyone.
Many people are so depressed they can kill by themselves. They can, you know, many happen to...
They commit suicide?
Yeah, they can do that.
Teresa Nguyen escaped from Vietnam by boat in 1982. She's been unemployed for a year and a half, so she spends her spare time as a volunteer trying to help former political detainees adjust to American life. Teresa says one of the worst problems for these people is facing the harsh reality that life in the United States is not what they expected. Mr. Yao Wang, another former prisoner, agrees. Yao runs a government-funded office in Los Angeles which tries to help refugees get jobs. He explains that while suffering in prison for years, isolated with no reliable information, many of these detainees began to project all their hopes and desires on America.
Most of the refugees who came here as formerly at camp detainee thought that they wouldn't be treated as heroes by the U.S. government, and that the government owed them money.
They felt that the United States government owed them something and owed them money?
Yes.
Mr. Yao says the shock of an indifferent American society is devastating for the former detainees and their families. Because many of their children were denied an education in Vietnam and they don't speak English, they often feel like outcasts. Yao and others believe this is a reason for the increase in Vietnamese youth gangs. The gangs offer a feeling of belonging. Although they may not have marketable job skills, some Vietnamese gang members have developed alarmingly effective criminal skills, such as car stealing and burglary. Authorities report that some hardcore members sadistically terrorize their victims while looting homes.
They are very, very, very wild. I mean, when the crimes are so bad.
Christina Lee, a former reporter with the Los Angeles Times, has followed the Vietnamese gangs.
If you look into the background of these people, these were the young kids who still had the traumatic experience of crossing that water, you know, or people who had seen their homes being looted by the Viet Cong or whatever. And for them, you know, the violence doesn't mean much. Since after all, if they put up with it while growing up, why can't these people put up with it too? That, you know, that's how the mind works.
We should introduce a stronger measure by deporting some of the immigrants that come here as a guest of the country and the people here, that they should be deported back to the country.
Tony Lam is the first Vietnamese to be elected to public office in Orange County. He serves on the Westminster City Council. Lam takes the hardline approach of showing gangs who's boss, but he's also struggling to get parents, law enforcement, and schools together to work on the problem. Of course, the Vietnamese are not alone. Gang-related crime in California has grown astronomically in the past 10 years. But this problem has flabbergasted Little Saigon. The president of the Vietnamese Chamber of Commerce, Dr. Co Pham, says recent refugees are not used to community intervention as a way to solve social problems.
Since we suffered almost 60 years of war, the Vietnamese becomes more withdrawn and individualist and thinking that you have to protect yourself, otherwise you get killed for nothing. You know, like during the war, if you try to help your friend, sometimes you die.
Dr. Pham worries the latest wave of refugees may end up being a lost generation. He suggests that renewing U.S. diplomatic and trade relations with Vietnam may be a way to give these refugees more options. If economic conditions in Vietnam improve, some may prefer to return home. While most recent refugees bitterly insist they will never return, that they will never trust the communist government, the fact remains, the American government has welcomed these people, but during these tough times, it has less and less to offer. For the Christian Science Monitor, this is Elizabeth Rollins in Los Angeles.